All right, welcome everyone to another outdoors show out here on the farm. And so the last episode, if you happen to catch it, we started off a series of trapping, a trapping series, kind of showing the different traps that you use when you're out here trying to harvest fur animals. And so different species of animals, different techniques of trapping. You're probably wondering why I've got blue hands. These are actually like latex gloves. And I'll use these a lot of times when I'm setting traps just to kind of prevent, an overabundance of human scent on anything that I'm putting here on the ground. We're down here at the river, and I tell you what we're going after today. This is why I chose this to be the first episode, and what we're going after is otter, river otter. Now, you may ask, well, what kind of problem would they cause? Well, for us, a couple of problems. One, the major problem is we have a stock pond that's probably about 80 to 100 yards just right behind, well, no, in front of me over here that we stock with fish. And I wondered right at the beginning if we were going to have a problem with any otter coming over and eating the fish. Well, we figured out last year that we do have a problem. And so we've spent several hundred dollars on putting some fish in that pond. It's not a very big pond. And then we spent the first whole summer feeding the fish. We got them just about up to eating size. And then through the winter, pretty much the otter just wiped them out. Couldn't even catch one this past year, besides just some little brim or bluegill, but very few catfish. And we'd put quite a few catfish in there. And it's a small enough pond that you can stock it and have a lot of fish in there and be able to catch and eat them. But for an otter, it's almost like catching fish in a barrel. It's just not very big, and so they can really get in there and do some damage. And another thing is the damage to the bank, you know, the shoreline and all. So anyway, hey, otter will probably bring in our area right now this year probably, a really good price is about $15 to $20 for an otter. But we're going to make this a twofold project. One, we're going to control the numbers on these otter to try to prevent them from coming over there and eating all of our fish. And number two, we'll use that resource. And who knows, we may even cook some of this otter in an episode coming up. I'm sure Yolanda will be happy about that. But we will give it a try nonetheless. So we'll use that resource for what it's meant to be for, and that's for food and for, whatever else you want to do with that pelt. But otter pelt is really thick and luxurious. So we'll see how big these dudes are. And we've got a lot of sign right here behind us. One interesting thing, I'm going to be like a weatherman here, right there. See that right there? That is a bald eagle's nest that we have down here on the farm. And we just saw a couple of the two adults flying over, and they'll be nesting there very soon. They've been kind of freshening up the nest. And so I'm going to have to get out here early in the morning to check these traps because they may check them for me if I get an otter in them. So I'm going to try to get out real early tomorrow morning and check them. So let's go over a couple of the things that we're going to, or the trap style that we're going to use. And I love to snare. I love to set snares. Snares are quick. They're easy. You can throw them up, about anywhere. You can use them for beaver, otter, raccoon, bobcat, coyote, pretty much anything. But you got to be careful about your area and your location. Make sure and check the regulations and see what they are. Most of the time, you'll have to have what they call deer stops on the snares. And I've placed some deer stops on here, so I'm going to show you. Let me pick up this snare here. A deer stop, it can be a little nut like that one right there, squeezed down on the cable to prevent the cable from restricting too much, or it can be maybe a piece of wire, heavy gauge trapping wire that a quarter inch long that you crimp on there. But basically what that serves the purpose of is if for some reason a deer was to able to trip your snare, it'll only go down this far. And so it leaves plenty of room for the deer to pull his foot out of there and it won't catch the deer. Now we've got a lot of deer around here, and even though we're trapping right down here by the riverbank, I went ahead and of course we're supposed to have the deer stops on there. Now this snare right here, I'll be setting it, and you'll notice at the end here, of course this swivels and allows the animal to go round and round, but you'll notice here that it has, and I'm not even sure what we call this, but this is how we're, well, it's an anchor. There we go. It's an anchor, and we're going to anchor this into the ground. I've got a couple different styles here, and what you do, and I think I showed this in the last video, but it's quick and easy. You put this down and you hammer it down the ground so it goes down the ground like that. All right, you get it down in there pretty far, and then you pull this out, and that does exactly what it did right then when an animal gets into it, right? So it goes down there, but when an animal starts pulling on it, it kind of anchors like that right there to prevent the animal from pulling it out of the ground. So these are really quick and really easy and a really nice way to set up something very clean. And so I've got a couple of those, but then I've also got, whoops, I'll lose that. Then I also have a couple of just, you know, the snares we all grew up with making and throwing out there. Let me get here. Wow, I've snared my snare. Okay, here we go. All right, so I've got a couple. Of course, I got the deer stops on there, but then just the ring right there. And so I'll take my stake, which has got a T on it, and I'll hammer it right down through there and anchor it into the ground. Okay, so that's what we'll do with that. Or you can use some trapping wire. I've got some heavy gauge trapping wire here. It's what I call it. But some heavy gauge wire that I could loop around in there if I need a little bit more distance, and then loop that around my T right there, and of course it would be set up. All right. So another thing that I do on mine, and what most people do, is you'll put a little piece of tube on here, and I'm going to show you how that works. So let's say you've got your snare set, and I'll show you how to set that in a minute, and then you take this piece of wire and you stick it in the ground, and this simply just holds your snare, I'm doing this without my glasses, in place, okay? It's not intrusive as far as being in the way. It's not, you know, doesn't stand out really, but we'll probably put some blades of grass up here by it. But it allows you to be able to do that right there, and so when the animal comes and gets in the snare, of course, he's going to be heavier than me, and he's going to pull up. It'll just pull right off of there, okay? And I'll show you how to set that up in a minute. So, all right, so like I was telling you, there's a lot of sign here behind us. And so I'm going to walk down here and show you the otter sign that you would look for on the side of the bank. And, of course, you can see where they've come up and down the bank, and they'll usually have a couple places that they'll slide up and down, climb up, and then slide back down. And who knows, we may catch a beaver in this as well, because there's a lot of beaver who run the river, and we've not had any chewing on our trees here lately, but we had a couple of years ago before we trapped to some of them. So let's go over and we'll set some snares real quick, all right? All right, so this is an area that has a lot of otter sign right over here where they've been coming up and down the bank, and I'm going to show you what you look for. But you can kind of see how it's been the grass even, because we drive right here where I'm standing, but you can see how the grass, the dead grass has been flattened down because of so much use that they've been up here on this bank and using this bank. And basically what they call this is a toilet area. And you're gonna understand why I say a toilet area here in just a minute, but this is what you look for. So you see this right here? A lot of fish scales that's in their poop. That's actually otter poop. Of course, it's broke down some, but you can see the fish scales there, right here. You can see there's a crawdad, pieces of crawdad in that poop. You'll be an otter poop expert after this video. But anyway, you'll see there's some there. And it's just kind of all around in this general area. And again, they use this as a toilet area, because they'll come up out of the river here, and they'll eat their fish here. A lot of this is just fish scales where they've eaten it, and so and then of course they defecate right here in this area too. But walk this way. We're going to kind of stay in this taller grass, but you can see right here, this is where they're coming up and down, and that's you can see that slide where they've been coming up and down. That's where we're going to set our first snare. So they've kind of got two places they're coming up and down, but this is their main place. And I'm going to say this is where they're going down, because they'll come up over here on this other side and come up, and then they come back here and they just slide right down. And so we're going to set the snare, this first snare right here. Now the first thing I'm going to do with this kind of setup So I'm gonna put a pretty good loop in the snare, kind of look at it here. And you know, I was gonna put it, well, I've got some stalks here I can mock up, but I'm gonna put it about just like that. I'm gonna put it about 1.5 to 2 inches off the ground, because the idea is you wanna make sure they kind of go through it some, they go through the loop a little bit before it, you know, it starts closing on them. So you wanna keep it just up off the ground. So here's what I'm gonna do first. Kind of squeeze in here. I'm gonna put my tube right up here. I've got my loop where I want it. That's about a good size right there. Kind of angled really good. But just in case they come up it, I'm gonna put it just a little bit closer to that bank. Probably about, actually, you know what? Look at this. No, I'm gonna set her just like that. Okay. All right, so I've got my thing there. Here's my piece of wire. With this being on the riverbank, see, you can really get that wire down in the dirt pretty easy. So I'm just barely gonna put it into that piece of tube. See that? I don't put it all the way in there. I just barely get it in there, okay? Because he's gonna knock that out, no doubt. But I go in there about, I keep pulling it in, pulling out. It's kind of cold out here. There we go. Okay, so I've got that up there, a piece of wire. And the good thing about using this wire like this is you can kind of bend it where you want it to go, you know what I mean? So I like that. That right there looks really good to me. Yep, I like that. I like that setup. All right, so now you've got this cable, obviously, that's coming off of it. You want to kind of keep it all in one spot, or I like to. So I'm going to take this anchor, and I'm actually going to use this reed right here that's poking me. I'm going to kind of mock this up a little bit. And that's the thing about trapping. You want to make it look as natural as possible. So I'm going to put that stick down in there like that. Now, I'm going to take my anchor here. I'm going to drive it. I'm going to actually, because we're on the edge of this bank, I'm going to kind of come up here a little bit. I got two snares here. I'm excited. All right, I'm gonna kind of come up here a little bit, kind of take that up underneath the grass, and maybe even pull this grass up a little bit. But first, I'm gonna anchor this down in there pretty far. Okay, so I got my anchor here. We'll get it up here higher on the bank. All right. I'm gonna go down to about that loop. It's where I wanna go down to, because this is soft. I'm gonna bury that in the grass. Ooh, I'm pulling on it now, ain't I? Let's do this. Let's get it up and over. But I wanna bury that. May come back a little bit far, but I can still bury that in there and get that to where it'll, yeah. All right, it's anchored in there good. Now we're gonna hide this anchor with this grass. Just use the stuff that's around, you see? Now, let's go back to our loop here, reset our loop. So we've been hammering around. I still like that. Maybe bring it over just a hair. Yeah, I like that just fine. Might make it just a hair bigger. It's all about getting it, not perfect, but as well as you can. But by using this, it's pretty easy. Okay, so we got that there, and I'm gonna use some of these reeds over here like I was talking about, just to kind of mock this thing up a little bit. I won't get too crazy with it, but I mean, nothing, you know, doesn't hurt to make it look as natural as possible. So I'm gonna put one on the back side, maybe pull this grass up like this. Again, you're in their house, so you don't want to make it too crazy. All right. I like that one. All right. Now, if you look this way, you get the camera and come this way, you can see, coming right off of that, you can see this trail that goes on down the bank there where they've been using it. We're going to put one right down this trail. So let me grab another one. All right, so we've got four snares set. Now, if we weren't shooting this video, and if I was coming out here just to set some snares, I could have set all these in 20 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes. There's just not really a whole lot to it. And that's what I like about trapping with snares. One, it's not that expensive. I mean, the cable and everything doesn't cost as much. And two, it's very effective. Probably, like I said, one of my favorite styles of trapping. So, whether we catch a beaver, an otter, a raccoon, really doesn't matter to me because I'm having a problem with otter, I'm having a problem with a raccoon, and I've had a problem with beaver. So we'll check these in the morning, see what we get, so stay tuned. Well, about what we figured. After, I mean, you can tell when the river got up, last week it washed right through here, and that's why all these snares are down. Yeah. I mean, they're not set because the water got up. And besides the water, the week before that, we had all that sleet. Let's look at this one down here. No, but I mean, look at where the river washed all this up right here. I mean, that's what took down the snares. I mean, something started digging back again here, but. Yeah, same way here. I just didn't reset it after that, after the river jumped up. Just unfortunate incidences between, you know, the sleet, the 3, 4, 5 inches of ice and sleet, and then I reset them right after that. But then 3 days later, we got all that rain, the river come up and took it all out. So we'll just have to reset them. See if we can do anything better. Maybe we won't get a big flood. Well, things don't always go as we plan, do they? You know, I fully expected to see an otter or a raccoon in at least one of these snares that I set out. Everything was set up in the perfect spot, the perfect way, and all I had to do was wait. But I came up empty-handed. You know what? And a little disappointed. Life is a lot like that, isn't it? We have this plan, this idea of how everything is going to go, and sometimes it just doesn't work out the way we thought or planned. Something happens in the middle of it all, and we come up empty-handed, shaking our heads thinking, this isn't how it was supposed to work out. Sound familiar? Kind of like this wind that's blowing out here while I'm trying to shoot this video. You know what? Do you think the disciples of Christ really envisioned how their life would be? Jesus called them out, and they left everything and followed Him. They thought Jesus would come and destroy the Roman government and rescue their people from their oppression as he established his kingdom. That was their plan. The disciples even argued about who would be the greatest in his kingdom. But it wasn't going to be like that at all, not the way they had planned. You know, Jesus told them they would be his witnesses all over, not just in one city of Jerusalem. And then throughout the book of Acts, we see it didn't exactly play out the way they thought, did it? You know, Stephen, who was the first martyr, was stoned to death by an angry religious mob, and widespread persecution began. The church scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. But everywhere they went, the people preached the gospel of Christ. And it says in Acts 8 and 4, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." You know, Jesus' mission to reach the world with the gospel continued, even though it wasn't like the disciples had planned or exactly how they thought it would be. They wouldn't be sitting beside the king in a palace or rushing into war on horses with swords drawn by Jesus' side. You know, that's kind of what they had envisioned. But God's ways are not like ours, are they? Just because things don't play out like we think they should, you know, doesn't mean we should give up. The early church could have thrown their hands in the air and surrendered, but they didn't. And you know what? They continued just as we should as well. When things aren't going exactly as you had planned or as I planned, remember, the Lord just has something better in store. You know what? Don't give up. Keep doing what He's told you to do. Go and share the gospel. Go and make disciples. Well, I guess I better get back to work setting some more snares and traps because these didn't, you know, exactly pan out. You know what? I've got a few ideas I want to try, and hopefully this weather will work out. If you want to see more episodes like this one, check out our other videos by following LifeWord on social media or going to lifeword.org. Hey, I am Sean Merrill, and I will see you next time in the great outdoors.